Bibles, let's open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're taking a little bit of a jump here. For Mother's Day, we weren't really any place in Ephesians that I could kind of twist it into a good Mother's Day sermon, but Paul has given us a gift for fathers in that Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 feeds really well into this day. Unfortunately, I had an emergency, because this was going to be like right on time. Last week was supposed to be talking about husbands and wives. This week was going to be fathers, and just by providence, I wasn't able to be here one week, and so we're just jumping ahead, and we'll go back to Ephesians 5 next week. But one of the things I want to make sure that everyone here is resting at ease, because what I've found a lot of times in churches is that for Mother's Day, you get this really sweet, you know, gentle, loving sermon from pastors, and then for Father's Day, you just get drug across the coals on how we're supposed to be living and how we're not living. And I am only going to say what needs to be said. I promise, dads, that that I will be raking no one over the coals today. For one reason, because I have no room to rake anyone over coals. Anybody here hit their kid in the face with a set of keys on their way out the door today? No? No, just me? Okay. So, no raking over coals on this end, because though I am elevated so you can see me, I am not elevated in any way, shape, or form, and better than any other dads here. And so, will not be taking any coals today. But we are going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And let me pray and we'll get started. God, it is a good and gracious thing to be able to come to you as the ultimate Father. To know that every issue that we could possibly have with our earthly dads, we will never have with you. It is great to know that you are strong and powerful, where we can often be weak and timid. It is great to know that there is nothing that you fear when sometimes we can be fearful. And God, I'm grateful that we can come before you as your children, to be loved and cared for, and that we can serve you in the energy and strength that you've given us. And I pray that as we take a look at this passage in Ephesians today, Lord, that your wisdom would pour out. God, that there would be no guilt, no shame, just a desire to serve you better from this moment forward in all things. And I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So this is fairly straightforward today. No twists and turns to be had in this passage. Paul is going to start off by saying that children need to obey their parents in the Lord because this is right. Children were made by God to glorify God, and one of the ways that they are to glorify God is by honoring and obeying their parents in the Lord. But how does one child honor and obey their parents? Well, children honor their parents by being respectful in their words and in their actions, and having an attitude of esteem for the position that their parents hold in their lives. It's not honorable when children pout or whine or talk back to their parents when the child doesn't get his or her way. It's not honorable to talk poorly to or about our parents. This is not how we honor them. And in a similar way, children are to obey their parents by listening to them and submitting to their authority. And this teaches them how to deal with authority for the rest of their lives. If a child does not learn how to submit themselves to the authority of a parent, they will never submit themselves to the authority of a teacher. They will never submit themselves to the authority of a boss. And so they must learn to submit themselves first to the authority of their parents. And I do want to put one caveat to the idea of obeying our parents. And this is one of the biggest struggles that people have with Father's Day. Because a lot of times there are fathers who are absent. Again, this is not me dragging across the coals. This is just me stating the truth. There are some times when we have parents who do not honor God in their life and in their commands. And we should never obey the authority of someone when they are commanding us to do something that goes against the will of God. This includes a child's response to an ungodly command from a parent. In any instance when we are faced with the decision of obeying an ungodly command or honoring God, we should respond the way Peter responded in Acts 5:29 when the apostles were commanded by the Sanhedrin not to share the gospel of Christ. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than people. And so when we are under authority, when our parents were to give us a command that would go directly against the spoken will of God, we must deny that command. We do not do the things that are ungodly just because the person who said it is in authority over us. Children do not have to obey the sinful commands of their parents, and they shouldn't obey the sinful commands of their parents. So in their obedience, Paul referenced a promise in the commandment to honor one's father and mother. And so what was the promise that Paul is talking about? When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the first four commandments were vertical. They all pertain to a person's relationship with God. The last six commandments are horizontal. They pertain to how we live in relationship to one another. And this breakdown shows the truth of Jesus' response to the lawyer in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, where he states that the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And in the Old Testament, there were 613 laws that the lawyer was referring to when he was trying to trip Jesus up with this question. And God the Father took those and broke them down to 10, and Jesus helpfully summarized all of those laws into two, love God and love your neighbor. But Paul points out that out of the 10 commandments, the first commandment with a promise is that of honoring our fathers and mothers. And that promise is that a child must honor their father and mother so that it may go well with them and so that they may live long, a long life in the land. Paul is combining Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5, 16, which are both instances where Moses is sharing the Ten Commandments with the people of Israel. And the original promise to Israel involved a long and good life in the land of Israel. But in our passage today, Paul omits the focus on Israel and makes the statement more general for all believers. And we never outgrow this command. Sometimes when we think about honoring our fathers and our mothers, we can think about this as what we are supposed to do until we get up to the age of 18 and leave the house, or 20 or 25, whatever, you know, I'm not judging. However that works for you and your family. But no matter how old we are or how old our parents are, we are still to show them honor, even if our need to obey them diminishes over time. And honoring our parents looks a little differently the older we get and the older they get, but the command itself never changes. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4. He says, support widows who are genuinely in need. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, Let them learn to practice godliness towards their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. So we honor our parents as they get older by looking after them the way that they looked after us when we were younger and unable to take care of ourselves. And remember that honor begets honor. God will not honor those who will not obey his command to honor their parents. And if we desire to please God and be blessed, we have to honor our parents. And this is not always easy, nor is it always fun in the moment, but it's always a better idea in the long run to be obedient to God than to get what we want in that moment. As parents, we need to do our part to make sure that this command from God on our children is as easy as possible to obey. If we want our children to honor us and to obey us, it is extremely helpful to them if we are people who are worthy of honor and obedience. And this goes for both parents, but Paul is going to speak directly to fathers in this passage about how they are supposed to interact with their children. And it seems overly simple, but I think it still needs to be said. Honorable fathers are easier to honor and obey. In verse 4, Paul says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Both parents are responsible for teaching their children how to honor God, but the father bears the primary responsibility for training and instruction in the home. And Paul leads out in this verse with a warning. Don't stir up anger in your children. In the ancient world, fathers had absolute control over their families, and sometimes they were harsh to their families. At that time, fathers could sell their children and even kill them without being charged with a crime. When I was in seminary, there was a story that one of our professors would tell often in regards to this. It was the concept of paterfamilias. And what would happen is, in this story, there was a man, and I don't know all the details, but there was a man who had a disagreement with his son. And he told his son, "You will do what I tell you to do." And that son, who was a grown man at the time, refused to do what his father told him to do. And so later, after they had this confrontation, that man was standing on the steps outside of a building having a conversation. That father walked up to that man, stabbed him in the chest, and killed him dead on the spot, cried out, "Paterfamilias," and walked away. And nothing was done to that father. While we have laws that in theory protect children from this kind of cruelty from their fathers now, it's important that fathers understand the power that they have over the physical, mental, and spiritual well-being of their children. And dads, it's important that we step up into the role that God has specifically assigned to us as head of the home to lead the godly discipleship of our children. We must be fair, loving, and consistent with our kids. When we fail to take into account the fact that our children are children, we run the risk of driving them to anger. When we expect them to act more grown up than they actually are, it puts undue pressure on them that they cannot handle. When we compare them to other children, we can drive them to anger. When we are inconsistent with our discipline, they can become uneasy and driven to anger. And if we fail to express approval for their accomplishments, our kids can be driven to anger. I can't tell you how many times a day that my kids come to me looking for validation in what they have done. And if I'm not careful, I can easily crush their spirit by failing to acknowledge their accomplishments. And so I try to make it a point to say, "You know what? Come here. And I make them feel like they're in trouble. So I get down and I say, you, come here. And so they kind of come up a little sheepishly and I say, do you have any idea how much I love you? Do you have any idea how proud I am of you? This is not something I got in my life from my father. And it's something that, even as a grown man, it's things that I want to hear. We can drive our children to anger when we push our goals, our dreams, our desires onto their lives. We cannot live vicariously through our children. And when we try, it can quickly lead to resentment in our kids. I've seen this over and over and over again on a baseball field, where you've got some dad in the stands trying to be the head honcho on the baseball field, and you've got a kid who is under so much scrutiny and pressure because that dad wants to live vicariously through his son or his daughter. I've seen them break down. I've seen them quit the game of baseball or softball altogether because they cannot handle the pressure that their family, their parents, or their dad is putting on them. We should aim to be encouraging to our children. Now, this doesn't mean that we do whatever they want and give them whatever they want and never discipline them. Proverbs 13:24 says that if you refuse to discipline your kid, you hate them. If you refuse to discipline your kid, you hate them. And I might add that you hate the world around you as well, because they are going to have to deal with someone who doesn't know how to act when they are being when they're not being the center of the universe. When you set a spoiled child loose into the world, you are being no one's friend. And no one likes you for it. And in this verse, Paul is not talking about our kids getting mad when we make them do what they're supposed to do. But as fathers, we should make sure that we are not oppressive figures in their lives. We should be building them up and striving to help them find their identity in Christ by teaching them the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 6:20-23 says this, "My son, keep your father's command and don't reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them to your heart and tie them around your neck. When you walk here and there, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life." And similarly, Moses says in Deuteronomy 6:4-8, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates." As in every area of our lives, fathers, we should live with a Christ-centered mentality in our homes. As we hang out with our kids, as we drive them places, as we have meals together, we need to be talking about Jesus. Talk about his life. Talk about his death. Talk about his resurrection. Talk about his lordship in our lives and what that looks like. Parents, and fathers especially, our home is the primary place that we are to live out our faith. And often when it comes to our discipleship of our children, more is caught than taught. And by that I mean that we teach our kids more by what we do than what we say. You can say, "Do as I say, not as I do," all that you want, but our children are far more likely to do what we do instead of what we say. There may come a time in their lives where they break free of the patterns that we set for them in our homes. But in my life, the people that I know, my age with kids, They are raising their kids in the same way that they were raised. So we are setting a precedent for future generations by what we do in our home when we are raising our children. And they will likely do the very things that they saw done when they have children of their own. Remember, stated belief plus actual practice equals your actual belief. What you say you believe does not matter if you don't do the things that you say you believe. And your kids are going to see that. Children are observing their parents' own relationship to the Lord. They know if we are broken by our sin and blown away by the grace of God to save us despite that sin. They see that. They see whether or not we are so moved by the beauty of the gospel that we tell them about it. And we tell our neighbors about it. And we tell our coworkers about it. And that family at the ballpark get to hear about it. And that guy at the gym where dad works out that gets to hear about it. And the lady at the checkout line in the store. They all get to hear about the glory of God and the gospel if we are truly moved by the beauty of it. Our kids are watching us pray. They're watching us study the Bible. They're watching us worship the Lord. And children observe how we value the church. Are you gathering with the people of God consistently, or are you sporadic in your availability to be with the people of God? Are you serving the church in any way, or do you come here expecting to be served? Our kids see this, and they will act accordingly. They're watching to see if we speak the truth lovingly. Are you harsh with people? Do you use the Bible to beat people up or to help people relieve their burdens? Dads, the kids are watching, and they're learning from us. They're looking to see if we live honestly and with integrity. Do you have to do what you're supposed to do? Do you do what you're supposed to do even when no one's watching? Because someone's always watching. Our kids see more, far more than we ever imagine they see. Do you keep your word even when it's not convenient? Even when it's hard to do the things that you're supposed to do because you said you were going to do it. Do you keep your word? We are either helping or hindering these qualities in our kids by how we act. Kids are seeing if we are generous givers. Are you tight-fisted with the things that God has given you? Do you have the mindset that I worked hard for this stuff and I'm not just going to give it away? Our children are learning about Christ's generosity based on our generosity. They're watching us to see if we encourage others or to see if we tear others down with our words. They're looking to see if we put away bitterness and anger. Do you struggle to forgive people and carry around bitterness and hatreds toward them? Or are you quick to forgive others when they've sinned against you? Our children will learn about God's forgiveness by watching how quickly we forgive. They're learning about marriage by watching our relationships with our spouse. We give our children a picture of the gospel as well as how husbands and wives are supposed to love each other. The question is, are we showing them the proper value of these things? The first picture of God that children receive is from their parents. And even when we fail to reflect God well to them, we should teach them how to repent and receive grace from God. What are our kids learning from us? Are they learning to value the mission of God over money? Are they learning to value faithfulness to God over career success? Are they learning humility and repentance? Or are they learning hypocrisy from how we live our lives? They are learning obedience, respect, and submission as they watch us submit and obey God. Do we live as those who are under God's authority? And parents, what I want for us to do is to take a good, long look at our lives. Fathers especially. Are you teaching your children about what it means to be followers of Christ, both in your words and in your deeds? Are you being the primary discipler in your kid's life, or is someone else taking on that responsibility because you haven't been doing it? One of the biggest frustrations that I ever had as a youth pastor down in Myrtle Beach was I had families that would treat my ministry like a dry cleaner. They would drop their kid off and say, "I'd like it cleaned up in an hour." And when I would try to talk to them about what their role was in that life, no one ever came out directly and said it, but the idea was, we pay you to do that. We pay you to be the primary discipler of our kids. And when you think about it, I would spend maybe 2 hours a week, depending on how faithful they were to come to the youth group events that we would do. I would spend maybe 2 weeks with, or two hours with them a week, and that was in the process of being with 30 or 40 other kids. And they would spend like 98% of the time in their kids' life every single week, and I would spend maybe 1% of that week with those kids and not even direct one-on-one contact, and they would expect me to be the primary discipler. This is not the role of paid pastors. This is the role of mothers and fathers to be the primary disciplers of our kids. So, what I'm wanting is for people to evaluate their lives. I'm hoping that's what you do every single week after you leave here. You take a look at your life, see what God's word has to say, and see how you can apply it better to your life. But I want you to do an evaluation of your life. And if you do this evaluation and you see that you've missed the mark in this and that you've been missing the mark for a long time, I want you to do something about that today. We will often fail as parents. But it is in our failures that we can show the beauty of the gospel. It is important that our children never stop seeing our need for grace as their parents. We are imperfect people, but we know one who was perfect. We are sometimes short-tempered people, but there was one who was always patient. We are selfish people, but we know one who was generous. Generous to the point of giving up his own life on the cross and taking the wrath of God for us so that we might have a restored relationship with the Father once again. It is never too late to repent. It is never too late to turn away from sin. If you have breath in your body, you can repent and turn away. And there are always consequences to our sins and failures. And we may have to live with those consequences for the rest of our lives, but we always have an opportunity to repent and try to set things right. So today, children, are you obeying and honoring your parents? Do you have this mentality that they are not your boss? They are not, you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to do what they tell you to do. Is that how you live your life? Because we are supposed to honor our parents. If that is you, if you are being disobedient, if this is a rebellious time in your life, now is the time to repent. Now is the time to turn back towards the Lord. And parents, fathers especially, are you driving your children to anger? Are you being inconsistent in your discipline? Are you being harsh? Are you being selfish? Now is the time to repent. And are you striving to disciple your children in the way of the Lord? And if you've found that no, this is not the common aspect of our life at our home, today is a good day to repent. Today is a good day to turn away from that and to follow the Lord in what He has called us to do. So don't let another day go by where we continually walk in disobedience. Go from this place today with the mindset that I will change this aspect of my life today. Let's pray.